Today is May 2nd, 2018, and this is episode number 460 of the Apple Context Machine, a podcast for the Mac Observer. I'm Jeff Gamet, managing editor at TMO.
And I'm Brian Chaffin, and I'm a long-haul trucker. To get the full story on anything we cover in this podcast, you can visit macobserver.com/ACM. And if you'd like to comment on or question anything about the show or just talk to the rest of the Apple Context Machine community, head over to facebook.com/groups/context machine.
You know, it's so funny. You're a long-haul trucker, and I'm a space cowboy. Yeah. You know, our community over on Facebook, they're actually pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been fun. It's been fun watching that develop and being able to talk more directly with people. It's you know, all the things that we complain about Facebook about, I stand by all those things, but I love the groups.
You know,
and not just for us, the other groups. Yeah. The other groups too. Groups is like is the one thing I think that Facebook does better than everybody else. And I just flat out like the groups.
Yeah, Facebook groups are pretty awesome. Yeah.
Indeed. So here's the funny thing.
Okay.
I had a friend of mine. My blood is still boiling on this. I had a friend of mine who's this big Samsung fan. It's a huge Samsung fan. Samsung's awesome. Apple sucks is what he says all the time. He's always talking about how awesome Samsung is and how awesome Android is. Of course, mind you, he games with an iPad because, you know, it offers the best mobile gaming experience. But whatever. Let's ignore that for now. And the other day, he texts me. And he's complaining about seeing an ad for a new game that targeted one of his complaints about the Game of War, which is where he's a Game of War buddy of mine.
Okay.
And it's something like the description for this game, and this was on Google Play, was like Game of War, but hate how greedy the developers were, or something like that, which is a common complaint for people that play Game of War. It's one of the premium pay to play games.
Okay.
And I asked him why he was showing it to me. He's like, because I really resent having, you know, having my conversations listened in on and, you know, being advertised to based on conversations that I'm having. It's like, dude, your entire platform is dedicated to that. I mean, like, this platform that you say you love is dedicated to that, to this thing that you're complaining to me about. And he's like, well, no one's innocent. They're all the same. Like, they're all, you know, all the players are all the same. They're all contributing to this.
So that's justification right there. Oh, they're all the same. That's why I can say my platform's better.
Yeah, apparently. So I said, well, you know, that's true, except of course that it's not, because the platform you love is dedicated to the thing that you're complaining to me about. And then there's another platform that you crap on that is actually dedicated to fighting this thing that upset you. And he's like, no, Apple's just the same. They develop FaceTime ID. And I'm like, what? He's like, well, yeah, they're keeping this database of all, you know, this is why they built this.
Did
this
he really say FaceTime ID?
No, he didn't. He said Face ID, actually. No. That was my personal mistake just now.
Let's call it an embellishment.
So he believes that Apple is compiling a database of all our faces. It's like, dude, that's not how it works. Your Face ID data is kept local to your device on a secure enclave, and it's encrypted.
And it's Apple's not even collecting your face.
Data associated with it. That's what he meant. And he's like, yeah, okay, whatever. like, and it's, it, you know, it was like arguing with someone who thinks that climate change is undecided among scientists. I mean, it felt like, it felt like having an argument.
There's a term for this, and I can't remember what it is, but it's something where when a person is presented with information that's contradictory to what they want to believe.
Cognitive dissonance.
It's different from cognitive dissonance. One of our listeners knows what this is, and they will write in and let us know. So thank you in advance. But what happens when you hear information that contradicts what you really want to believe, it can, in fact, make your resolve to believe what you want even stronger. And that's...
I thought that was cognitive dissonance.
No, it's different from cognitive dissonance.
You're correct.
Of course I am.
I mean, nuh-uh.
There we go.
You see what I did there?
There we go. Yes, I see what you did there. Well played, sir. Well played.
Yeah, or something like that. Anyway, it was just weird. It was just weird. It's just so annoying. Anyway. So that was my weekend.
Wow. Well, okay. So you had a great weekend.
Yeah, I did actually. Yeah, I did have a good weekend other than that particular thing, which actually chapped my hide.
That's, yeah, it really cheesed you off.
It did, in fact, cheese me off. That's a fine way of thinking about it. So, right, we do have some Apple related topics this particular day.
Oh, okay.
And they are, we're going to be talking about some earnings report stuff, but we're going to be talking about some specific earnings report stuff. One, we're going to be talking about the myths of a failing iPhone X. Mm-hmm. Then we're going to talk about Tim Cook's bizarre and weird HomePod Zen. And then we're going to be talking about the Oh My God dividends.
You know, I always look forward to Wednesdays when we record because you entertain me.
Well, it's good.
And I appreciate that. Thank you.
That's what I'm here to do. Entertain.
And you do a darn fine job.
Oh, why, thank you.
Yeah.
It's very, very, very kind of you.
So we should end the show now while we're ahead, right?
Yeah, we really, really, really should just cut it while the cutting's good. But instead, we will press on. But we won't.
Yeah, far be it from us to do the right thing. All right, so what are we going to talk about first?
Well, yeah, let's talk about the myths of the HomePod, the myths of the failing iPhone 10.
Yeah, Zomg, the iPhone 10 is failing. Apple's clearly having to cut orders.
It's this big disaster. They're going to have to kill it early.
This is going to be the death of Apple's smartphone product line.
Clearly, it's going to be the death of the smartphone product line and Apple. Yeah, that's been the consistent meme since iPhone 10 was released. Like, so before the end of the year, before Apple's December quarter announcement, and then all throughout the March quarter, we got the same thing about how the iPhone 10 is disappointing and it's failing and no one wants it. It's too expensive. No one's going to buy it. And it's just a real pain in the butt.
You know, the it's too expensive thing, I just find to be fascinating because you can buy Android phones that cost as much as an iPhone 10 and have been able to do so before, or were able to do so even before the iPhone 10 shipped.
Yeah, but they don't sell in any numbers.
Yeah, but the point is, they're out there.
Yeah, but they don't sell. But that's so to the iPhone 10's, you know, critics who are making up stuff, to their credit, the expensive devices out that are out there on other platforms don't sell. And I think that's right. You see, that actually reinforces their mistaken beliefs as opposed to counters them.
Yes. Yeah. Of course. Because that fits the narrative that they want to create. Sure.
So, I don't, it's, you know, Tim Cook told us last quarter that iPhone 10 was the best-selling iPhone every week that it since it was released. And and that didn't stop anybody. And then this time around, Tim Cook was very specific about well, I thought he was very, very specifically trying to counter this persistent meme because, you know, the some of the analysts who have downgraded Apple based on this stuff were on the call.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Tim said, I'm going to quote here, and customers chose iPhone 10 more than any other iPhone each week in the March quarter, just as they did following its launch in the December quarter. Since we split the line with the launch of iPhone 6 and 6 Plus in 2014, this is the first cycle in which the top of the line iPhone model has also been the most popular.
So what he's saying is that when the iPhone 10 went on sale, it was the best-selling iPhone model at the, and has continued to be the best-selling iPhone model from all
every single week
available.
Yep.
Every single week.
And what he's talking about the top of the line being the first time the top of the line phone being the most popular, what he means is that once the 6 Plus was introduced, theoretically the 6 Plus was the top of the line device, I guess because it was the most expensive. And it actually did sometimes have features that the non-Plus model didn't have.
That's true.
Camera.
The Plus models have always had the better cameras. So, yeah.
So he's saying that since the introduction of the 6 Plus, this is the very first time that the most expensive model, the flagship model, has also been the most popular model.
And this doesn't sound like a phone that's failing to me.
No, it doesn't. And he emphasized that a few times. He said, Luca Maestri said, iPhone ASP increased to $728 from $655 a year ago. So the average selling price of the iPhone was $728.
So that means it was trending towards higher priced iPhones.
Yes. And that's like 2.5-3 times what Android makers can only dream of, for what that's worth. And it's up from $655 a year ago, $655. That's a pretty significant increase. And he said that was driven primarily by the performance of iPhone 10, iPhone 8, and iPhone 8 Plus. He also said that customer, this is still Luca Maestri, he said the customer satisfaction rating for across all iPhone models, customer satisfaction rate was 95%. And then he said, in combining iPhone 8, 8 Plus, and iPhone 10 customers only, customer satisfaction was 99%.
That's pretty impressive.
Right. Now, it's interesting that the way they said that, it's possible that iPhone 10 is like 98 and the other two are 100 or something. I don't know. Actually, I can't imagine that that's the case. So Shannon Cross said she has her own research firm called Cross Research. Mm-hmm. Her question was, I wanted to ask about your thoughts on sort of iPhone and positioning now that we're a couple of quarters out from the launch of the iPhone 10, given the $1,000 price point, and it's clearly selling, but there's been a lot of questions in the market about sustainability of that price and how you're thinking about it as you look out sort of holistically across your lineup. So if you could talk a bit about that, blah, blah, blah. So Tim responded as I like, by the way, he always goes, sure, Shannon, it's Tim, you know, as if we're going to mistake Luca Maestri with his admittedly improving Italian accent and in Tim's Southern drawl, but whatever. Anyway, sure, Shannon, it's Tim, he said. As Luca mentioned earlier, our revenues are up 14% year over year on iPhone, and that's a combination of single-digit unit growth and ASP growth that is mainly driven by iPhone 10. I think that our iPhone line shows there's a variety of different customers in a market that is as large as the smartphone market, so we're going to continue to provide different iPhones for folks to meet their needs. On iPhone 10 specifically, I think it's important to maybe emphasize again one of the things I mentioned in my opening comments, that customers chose iPhone 10 more than any other iPhone each and every week in the March quarter, just as they did following its launch in the December quarter.
Now, at this point, I would expect Shannon, or in this case, because it was Shannon's question, but it could be anyone, to say, yeah, but no one's buying them, right?
Well, just about. I saw headlines essentially saying just that later that day. And so he went on to say, by the way, the iPhone 10 is a beloved product. And so I think it's one of those things where, like, a team wins the Super Bowl. Maybe you want them to win by a few more points, but it's a Super Bowl winner, and that's how we feel about it. I could not be prouder of the product. Now, that was the one line, by the way, Jeff, that gave me a little bit of pause. He said, well, maybe you want them to win by a few more points. I'm wondering if he's acknowledging that the iPhone 10 could be doing better.
Maybe, or he could be referring to analysts who want it to do better than it is.
Right, which is, I mean, like, it's really hard to imagine how it could be doing all that much better. It was the number one phone in China. iPhone.
Yeah, you 10. Can't do much better than that.
Well, you could be number one by more, I guess. Maybe that's what Tim meant. But it's just this consistent meme. It's like there are, of course, you know, part of it is, you know, worship, you know, wanting Apple to fail. All the people out there who want Apple to fail, and people who want to knock the company off of its pedestal, and, you know, just people who want to bring down other people and other things, especially people that are doing well. But I don't get it from the analyst. And by the way, I would like to please officially stop extolling the virtues of Min-Chi Kuo. The dude gets a lot of things wrong. He is not perfect. He's one of the people that has been leading this charge about the failing iPhone 10.
And I have to give you your mostly pedantic correction. Instead of saying he is, you need to start saying he was. Because he is no longer with KGI, and he is no longer going to be doing analysis on Apple.
Oh, really? Did he leave?
He left, yes.
Or was he fired?
He left.
Huh.
So my guess is someone made him an offer that was too good to pass up, and it doesn't involve covering Apple anymore, so he's done.
Yeah, well, it could be that maybe some people started finally noticing that he was wrong, although I don't think that's the case. Every time I'd see his name mentioned, even by people in the Apple press, I would it would be attached to some kind of statement about how awesomely correct he always was. And he was not always awesomely correct. He was wrong a lot. I do believe that he was very plugged into Apple's supply chain, and it's actually hard to believe that he would willingly give up something that probably cost money in the form of bribes, and not to mention effort.
Well, I hypothesized the other day that maybe part of the reason why he's decided to be out of this. Oh, that's right. You were out of town.
Yeah. Cause this is like completely new to me.
Oh, well, surprise. Yeah. Min-Chi Kuo doesn't cover Apple anymore. So I speculated that maybe with Apple making it very clear that they are pursuing criminal legal persecution or prosecution of people for leaking information, that a lot of his supply chain sources dried up. And so he decided to get out before he didn't have any sources left.
No,
so move out while you're on top.
I doubt that, because Apple might be supplying criminal charges here in the States. No way they're going to get anything done in China.
So, well, I mean, regardless of his reasoning. He's off to do something else now, and he's not saying what it is yet.
All right, well, good riddance as far as I'm concerned. That guy was, it really annoyed me how much credit he got, how much unearned credit he got, in my opinion. And the iPhone 10 is one of those things. He was one of the loudest voices about how the iPhone 10 is failing. And that doesn't jive with the data we're getting from Apple, the company that knows.
And Apple's in a unique position, first, because they actually know what the real numbers are. But then second, because if they are making this stuff up in earnings reports, that's really bad. That becomes a federal problem.
Right. So Michael J. Olson of Piper Jaffray said, is it iPhone 10 specifically or something else that's behind that improvement? Okay, let me back up. He said, any potential tariff issues aside, he's talking about China. What's working for Apple in China right now? You talked about it being the strongest year-over-year growth in 10 quarters, which Apple did. I guess what's driving that, he asked. Is it iPhone 10 specifically or something else that's behind that improvement? And Tim Cook said, it's a good question. iPhone 10 was the most popular smartphone in all of China last quarter. So not just the most popular iPhone.
Most popular smartphone.
Yeah, in China. So iPhone 10 has done well there. In order to hit a number like 21%, because Apple did do 21% year-over-year growth in China this last quarter, there has to be several things working well. And the things that have huge growth rates there are the other products, blah, blah, blah. iPhone obviously had to do extremely well to get a 21% number. And we gained share in the market for Macs.
Wearables specifically? I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah, that is interesting. Yeah, if Apple could start selling a crap ton of Apple Watches in China, that would be good for Apple and shareholders like me. By the way, I have a very, very small stake in Apple. Full disclosure.
And full disclosure, I know people that have very small stakes in Apple.
Right. So, again, the myth of the failing iPhone 10. I'm sick to death of seeing this. It doesn't make any sense. It's not backed up by the data that we know. It's not backed up by Apple's results. It's not backed up by the average selling price of the iPhone, which is just ridiculously sky high. We saw, by the way, Apple had a 3% increase in unit sales for iPhone 10, for iPhone year over year. And then they had a 14% increase in iPhone revenues. And that's because people are buying this expensive iPhone 10.
It's a pretty cool phone.
It is a pretty cool phone. Now, I had a friend, a different friend, by the way. not my gamer buddy. He was telling me that he couldn't find anyone to say anything nice about the iPhone 10. This was a conversation about anecdotes, by the way, about anecdotal evidence. Not
okay.
You know, he wasn't espousing the iPhone 10 as a failure necessarily, but he said that routinely at the poker table he would have people trying to tell him that he should get an iPhone. But he said that he hasn't had anyone tell him that the iPhone 10 is the bee's knees and that he should get one. And this included iPhone 10 owners. And which is really interesting to me in that the people that I know with iPhone 10s love it. And that would include me.
I love my iPhone 10. I think it's a fantastic phone. I can find things to complain about, but it's, of course I can find things to complain about. These are very complex products. And
well, for $1,000, I think you're probably entitled to want to be relatively complaint free.
Yeah, and
just to be fair.
Yeah, and the complaints that I have, one is not a problem with the product at all. It's just a personal preference. I wish I could reach every part of the screen with just my thumb, so I could use the phone truly one handed.
With your tiny hands, yep.
Go ahead. With my tiny, tiny hands. Mm-hmm. And then the other thing is that Face ID, while it's very cool and very convenient, it's also slow. And I get that I'm a beta tester because I bought the first version of an iPhone with Face ID. So,
yeah, I don't really have any problem. Personally, I don't have any problems with Face ID. I'm not complaining about it, except for I can't use it with the sunglasses on, at least my sunglasses.
Yeah, and see, I can use mine with my sunglasses on.
Yeah, I'm wearing Ray-Ban Ballerina, not as we speak, but I'm...
But you could.
Ray-Ban Ballerina is apparently defeat iPhone 10's Face ID.
Are they polarized?
They are polarized, and they cover my eyes completely.
I see. I'm wondering if it's the polarized part.
I think it's probably the polarized part.
Yeah, I have Bollé's that completely cover my eyes and pretty much hide my eyebrows too. And my iPhone does not have a problem with those, but it's not polarized lenses.
I bet you it's the polarized bit. I know that you and Dave were complaining about Face ID being slow. I haven't personally felt that reaction to Face ID, but you know, that absolutely is subjective. Personally, I want my iPad to work like my iPhone 10. I love the screen. I love the camera. The camera on the iPhone 10 is just insane. And I would like the home button to go away on iPad 2 so that I can use my HomePod, my iPad the same way that I use my iPhone 10.
I'm with you. Having to switch gestures between the devices is kind of annoying. And what I found is that once I started doing gestures on my iPhone, I wanted those to be the same gestures on my iPad.
Yeah, I still don't know why Apple doesn't let us do that even with the home button on iPad. There's no, it doesn't clash with anything else.
So no, it doesn't. As far as I can tell, it sure seems like we ought to be able to use the iPhone 10 gestures on other devices.
Yeah. Yeah. And I want consistency. Apple needs to get back to having things work consistently, having interface issues work consistently between devices.
Well, I think that's coming. My feeling is that we're in that transition period as Apple deprecates Touch ID. And so we'll have more devices working consistently.
Well, yeah, but look at the way the app switcher works on iPhone 10 versus every other iOS device.
Yeah.
Right? That is an inconsistency that you can't pin on the home button.
That's absolutely true. It's a weird gesture combination thing on the iPhone 10 compared to every other device. And look how the app switcher works on an iPad.
You know what else I want? Totally different. You know what else I want, Jeff? What I want is when I restart my iPhone for all of the reminders that I've already cleared not to show up again. Do you get that?
Oh, yeah. That's true.
What is up with that?
Yeah, or... I'll even get that where I've unlocked my iPhone and later on when it's locked again, everything that I'd already cleared is back. So I get it with restarts and just with clearing stuff out.
Yeah. I just had to clear 10 of them. It's ridiculous.
Yeah. Did you hear that clunk? Turns out there's a microphone in front of me. I forgot.
Oh yeah.
I just bounced my head off of it.
Who knew? All right. So the myth of the failing iPhone 10, it makes no sense that we're seeing this consistent meme out there. Don't know where that's coming from. It's really bizarre and I'm sick to death of hearing it, especially after we get 2 earnings reports in a row where we find out that the iPhone 10 is doing really well. And we see the results reflected in their profits and revenues. So there we have that. So now that we've defended Apple,
okay,
let's attack Apple.
Okay.
And talk about Tim's weird HomePod Zen.
Yeah. So what's up with that?
So during Tim Cook's opening statement, I was so hoping the analysts were going to call him on this. I so wanted an analyst. Okay, anyway, so he said, we started shipping HomePod. This is Tim Cook. We started shipping HomePod in February, and it's widely recognized as having the best audio quality for its size and class. HomePod is a breakthrough speaker that delivers amazing sound, and we believe it will change the way people listen to music at home. It's currently available in the U.S., United Kingdom, Australia, and we're looking forward to adding new features to HomePod and inducing it to more markets. That's it. That was the HomePod.
So Apple is still sticking to their original message, which is, this is the most awesome speaker.
Right. Where Amazon's out there killing them with new features dealing with a voice AI in the home, which is clearly what people want.
I have to take us down a rabbit hole real quick.
Okay.
Holy crap. Amazon added a new feature. It was actually on, well, it depends on when it showed up on your Echo devices. So it was either on Tuesday or Wednesday, where it will remember things for you. So what I did to test was, I told,
this is Amazon.
Yeah. So I told, okay. So I told the A lady to remember that I keep all of the MacBook Air dongles in the hall closet because I forget where they are when I need them. And so I have this post-it note on the, literally on the wall by my desk. So now when I'm looking for those dongles, because I need to use them right now, instead of having to then stop and think, where did I write a note and stick it, and what wall did I stick it on? I can just shout out to the air, hey, A lady, where do I keep the MacBook Air dongles? And my Echo will tell me, you told me that you keep them in the hall closet.
Why do you need a reminder for that?
That's because weird. I do.
It's really like, it's,
I remember, yeah, okay, all right, I remember whatever, important dude. Stuff.
Okay, great. That's really
you're focusing on the wrap
my
part.
Head, I can't wrap my head around that. That is a cool feature. Of course, it still requires having this device, you know, listening to me in my home. And so I'm still not going to take
that. The point is that Amazon is doing stuff almost weekly that
makes
a lady much more useful and much harder to get rid of in favor of other platforms. Right now we're at the point where I think the single most versatile voice control platform is A Lady.
Yeah, and since we recorded our last show, Amazon has introduced the Amazon Kid stuff, or Alexa Kid stuff. I don't even know what they call it. It's where you put a wiretap in your kid's room.
Yeah, Amazon Echo Kids Edition.
And including services that I do like and do make sense, aimed at kids and aimed at being able to restrict what they can access, as well as giving them content to consume that's aimed at kids.
And I heard that those parental controls that come with the Kids Edition, you can use those for free on any other A Lady compatible device you already have.
Right. And I was listening to, I do listen to NPR a lot, and I was listening to a story talking about this new Kids Edition stuff from the viewpoint of kids making Alexa their friend.
Oh, I totally see that happening.
And that is a thing, in my opinion. And it's a thing that's going to end up kicking Apple's butt if they don't fix it. In terms of Siri and in terms of HomePod devices, or, you know, less expensive HomePod devices that don't have 7 tweeters and 52 microphones and an awesome subwoofer that, you know, are aimed at sticking them throughout the rest of your house. And if they don't give HomePod access to more of Siri's controls, And if they don't allow Siri through HomePod to start doing more for you, Apple is getting its butt kicked on there, and we're still getting crap about how great it sounds. And that infuriates me. I really wanted an analyst. I really wanted an analyst to say, so you're still talking about HomePod sound, but it turns out no one gives a crap about that. So why are you still talking about it? What are you going to do about the things that people actually are talking about, which is making a device that can actually control your home, give you information, and do things for you?
That's a question I would have loved to have heard answered. Now, I do love the audio quality on my HomePod, and if I'm streaming music, even when I'm sitting at my desk now, I'm probably just going to tell the HomePod to play whatever I want to play. And I have really nice speakers on my desk. But what I'm finding is when I want to do anything else, I'm relying on the A-Lady just like all the time, because there's so many things it can do that even when there's something I can do from the HomePod, I'm more inclined to ask the Echo to do it instead, just because I'm always talking to the A-Lady. And I would love for it to be the other way, where okay, I'm just talking to the S lady all the time.
To be fair, you and I are weird, right? I'm weird because, like, you know, I don't want this wiretap in my house, and I hate, you know, surveillance capitalism, and I'm just, you know, weird about that stuff. You're weird because you have a fully decked out house with multiple voice assistants.
I have A lady, S lady, and G lady all in right. place.
Now, right. And most people are not like either of us.
That's true. And for everyone out there, that's a compliment.
Yes, absolutely. 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 I was absolutely complimenting our listeners and the rest of the world for not being like us. I wasn't trying to say that we're, you know, I wasn't trying to compliment us.
I figured, but I wanted to make it painfully clear to everyone.
Yes, yes, that seems absolutely imperative to make clear. I don't. I was so cranky. I was so cranky when Tim started talking about what a breakthrough speaker it is. I'm still cranky about this. I'm still cranky. They have to get it. They have to know how well it's selling or not selling. And the fact that we didn't get any kind of information out. Now, Apple, you know, is very, very okay. So let me mention something about Apple's earnings report. Mm-hmm. Apple wants to tell us nothing. They have to tell us some things, because they have a fiduciary responsibility to make the stock as high as it can be. Mm-hmm. In addition, having the stock be as high as it can be is important for executive pay and employee compensation, not pay, but compensation. Mm-hmm. It's imperative for being able to attract the best and brightest to Apple. And of course it's imperative from their own pocketbooks, and also not getting sued for breach of fiduciary responsibility. So because of all of those things, Apple has to tell us some things. Every company has to tell Wall Street something. And the more powerful your company is, and the more profitable your company is, the more you can get away with not telling Wall Street. Mm-hmm. So Apple has been telling us less and less and less over the years. You know, the first they stopped breaking out individual like Mac product category sales and iPhone product category sales and iPhone or iPod category sales, etc.
Yeah, they don't even tell us how many Apple Watches they sell.
They've never told us ever. And they also don't tell us how many HomePod devices.
You know, I'm thinking they could probably proudly announce how many Apple Watches are selling, but I'm assuming, yeah, at this point, but I'm assuming not so much with HomePod. I mean, there's a lot of potential there where that could change, but I'm guessing sales aren't stellar for HomePod.
Well, so what do we get? We get information like iPhone 10 is the best-selling iPhone. Mm-hmm. We get information like the iPhone 10 is the best-smelling. Did I just say that?
You totally did.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay.
Mine smells sort of like wintergreen.
Mine smells like leather because I've got Apple's leather case. But whatever. We get things like iPhone 10 is the best-selling smartphone in all of China. We don't get numbers, but we get braggadocio statements like that. Mm-hmm. For Apple Watch, we get that sales are up, I think it was 50% year over year. Something like that.
Which is pretty good.
For wearables, which mm-hmm. is which is great. We get things like Apple Watch is the best-selling watch in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Right? We get statements like that. Now, and that's always the case. You know, we get like, you know, total unit sales of all iPads. We get total unit sales of all Macs. We get total unit sales of all iPhones. And then we get, you know, individual sort of metrics basically talking about how much better these devices are doing than other devices without breaking out specifics for individual models. But what do we get for HomePod?
It has seven speakers and sounds nice.
Yes. Yes. It's eight speakers, right? Seven tweeters and subwoofer?
Yes.
So, mostly pedantic.
Mostly.
So what we don't get is that it's the best-selling home speaker. What we don't get is that it's the best-selling voice assistant. What we don't get is that HomePod is selling more than AirPods, by the way, another device where we've never gotten sales numbers. Mm-hmm. But we have Apple telling us that they're working hard to meet demand. Not for HomePod. We didn't get that kind of statement. Apple's not working hard to meet demand because it's not hard to meet the demand when there's not that much demand. Right? Everything mm-hmm. that Apple didn't say about HomePod tells us that it is not selling well. And Apple clearly knows this. And my question is, are they going to fix it? Or are they going to double down on this? It sounds great crap. Which it does sound great. Don't get me wrong.
It does sound great. Well, Apple has an opportunity coming up in a few weeks to address that. And keep in mind, last year at Worldwide Developer Conference, Apple announced HomePod. This year at Worldwide Developer Conference, Apple can do something about the current state of HomePod and maybe give us some announcements about how it's going to immediately get better or what they're doing throughout the rest of the year to improve it.
Yeah. I was really hoping from the get-go that we were going to be getting more frequent announcements about HomePod features and that it wouldn't wait until WWDC. And that's the opportunity coming up in a few weeks.
Yes.
And that few, it's I think 4 or 5 weeks from now.
Yeah. And right. Yeah. And you're right. We haven't had any real announcements about anything for HomePod. We've had one software update, and as far as I know, even things that they can do on the back end without software updates, like changes for S Lady,
mm-hmm. which are where the changes need to come.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen anything that dramatically changes or improves S Lady functionality on the HomePod.
Right. I want Apple challenging the A Lady on this stuff. Matter of fact, I want Apple crushing the Alexa on this stuff. I don't have an Alexa in my room. I can say it out loud.
Yeah, and now all of our listeners are like, oh, Brian.
Yeah, I know. That's how I roll.
Yeah. Well.
So I Tim saying so Tim did say. Currently available, looking forward to adding new features, right? But I wish Tim had said that we've been learning a lot from the way HomePod is being used And, you know, and we're going to be introducing stuff that our customers are asking for. I wish he'd said something like that, but instead, again, we get great sound. I think, let's see, I think,
while you look up whatever you're looking up, one thing that I think Apple could do, which would be an announcement at WWDC, is open up HomePod in a way similar to the way the A-Lady platform is with skills. So allow developers to create HomePod Siri skills so that we can extend what we can do with the device.
Well, okay, well, this is where I'm going to defend Apple's angle. Apple's whole angle is not to do the skill thing. It's to make Siri smart enough to actually understand us. The thing is that we need to see that. We need to see the results of that.
Well, Apple's already opened up Siri to a degree to developers, so they can enhance what Siri's able to do. They can extend that out to HomePod as well. And I'm using the skills analogy only because that's something that's available today and it's easier for people to visualize. Yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. I really don't want Apple to take the hackneyed approach that Google, that Amazon has taken. I really don't, but
I don't, but they have to do something,
but they have to do something. They got to do something. They have to make this device more useful for the thing that we actually want to use it for. That's the thing. I don't want to hear any more about how great it sounds.
And A-Lady,
because that's not selling these things.
No, it's not selling them in big enough numbers. That's for sure. But back to the skills thing, and I'm with you. I don't want Apple just to do skills. There's going to be a more elegant way to do this with S-Lady, but. I misspoke talking to my A-Lady this morning and discovered that the skill that links up to my Eero Wi-Fi mesh system through the A-Lady, I can ask the A-Lady where devices are that are on my network.
Oh, and that's useful.
She will find them and tell me which of the Wi-Fi mesh access points they're connected to.
That's super freaking useful.
Yeah.
All right. So let me give you a couple more data points from the from the earnings report. I quote, this is Luca Maestri, CFO of Apple Incorporated. Quote, we began shipping HomePod in February and unit sales of both Apple Watch and AirPods reached the new high for the March quarter.
Oh my God.
Okay. That is the earnings report equivalent of, and the rest.
Oh my God, it totally is.
It's a Gilligan's Island reference if you're too young to catch that. I'm gonna repeat that again because and I've got another one too. So here's the quote. We began shipping HomePod in February and unit sales of both Apple Watch and AirPods reached a new high for the March quarter. Like and it'd be easy to, if you're not really parsing what they're saying, it would be easy to take away from that HomePod is selling well, but that's not what he's saying at all.
No, it's not.
Right. Here's another one. Year over year. So we had a great performance from our retail and online stores, which produces still Luca Maestri, which produced their highest March quarter revenue ever. Year over year growth was led by iPhone as well as strong performance from AirPods and introduction of HomePod. Well,
that one actually sounds a little better.
That one does sound a lot better. When I was skimming over it in preparation for mentioning this, I think I misread it. That one does sound a lot better. Yeah, that one does sound a lot better.
Yeah, that's more like, and the professor and Marianne.
You're right. It does. Okay, here's another. Here's another quote from Tim.
There are some who call me Tim. It's okay, Brian. You didn't need to laugh. our audience got the joke.
Yeah. Yes. Sorry. That was a big sharp teeth. And that actually was very funny. okay. No, this, there was the HomePod was not mentioned by any analyst.
That's shocking.
It's because they don't care about it. Cause they know it's not doing anything. Like yeah, they get two questions. They get two questions. Theoretically, it's supposed to be a question and a follow-up. But in reality, everyone turns that into two questions.
Of course they do. But you'd think that someone would want to call Apple out on that and get a statement.
It just doesn't matter. They're like, this device isn't selling enough to affect the bottom line, so they're going to spend their two questions somewhere else.
All right. That's I guess they're making quite a statement then.
That's true. Yeah. By not asking about it, that is in and of itself a statement. That's an excellent point. That is an excellent point.
I really want HomePod to be a success.
I want HomePod. I want HomePod to be a big part of my life. And it is a part of my life, but it's only because I refuse to use, if I was comfortable having surveillance capitalism in my house, I would be at best set up like you were, and at worst,
set all up like I am.
No, all a lady. Like I wouldn't even bother with a HomePod at this point. It doesn't do enough. It does sound great.
It does sound great.
I do like having it, but it's because I refuse to have the surveillance capitalist device devices in my home.
Yeah, I get it. It's a choice that if you want voice control in your home, at some point you have to make. I mean, which of the voice control platforms are you comfortable with?
Right.
And I have shown that I'm very comfortable with A Lady because it does so much for me. I'm comfortable with S Lady, but I wish it would do more. I'm not all that comfortable with G Lady, even though I have her. That one, my Google Home is on a Wemo switch, and so it stays off until I tell the A Lady to turn the switch on. Which, by the way, I think is incredibly funny. I'm using an Echo to control whether or not I can talk to a Google Home.
Fair enough.
It's okay. There's people out there that think that's pretty damn funny.
I was just looking at numbers. I was looking at numbers because we have a third topic we promised that we would get to, and we're running out of time.
Oh, yeah. Yes, we are.
So Apple bumped its dividend up to 73 cents a share, which means that Apple is going to pay out roughly over the next four quarters, $14.82 billion. In dividends alone.
That's a lot of money in dividends.
This is in addition to the next $100 billion that they announced for buying back shares, which will probably be done over the next 4 to 6 quarters, probably over the next 4 to 5 quarters.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that's in addition to that. Apple's goal right now, I didn't write a whole lot about, I don't think I mentioned this in the articles that I wrote yesterday about the earnings report, but Apple's goal is to be essentially cash neutral. Like they've got as much cash as they want, and so now they want to spend it and give it back to shareholders. Anything above that amount. Okay. That's their goal.
That sounds like an awesome goal for Apple and for shareholders.
Yeah, it does. So just looking at this dividend number, Apple is going to pay out roughly, and the reason why I say roughly is because Apple is buying back shares. So every share that it buys back is a dividend that it doesn't have to pay back.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But it's roughly $14.82 billion over the next year. That is more than the total profits of retailing giant Walmart for all of 2017.
Wait. Apple's paying out more in dividends than Walmart is
earned.
Than Walmart earns in a year.
Yes. Apple, in 2017, Walmart earned $13.6 billion.
That's a lot of money.
And Apple's going to be paying out, just in dividends, not counting its share buybacks, $14.82 billion over the next year.
Wow.
Now, Walmart may or may not earn more than 13.6, but I'd be surprised if they earn more than 5. I mean, Walmart is under a lot of pressure from Amazon. So
sure.
could go either way. And by the way, for whatever that's worth, Walmart had revenues of $485 billion and earned like a lot less than Apple, with a lot more in sales because, you know, they're
yeah, their margins are a lot lower.
Yeah, they're in this big race to the bottom. And you know how much I love that. They also have 2.3 million employees.
That's a lot of people.
That is a lot of people. Brisbane, Australia, for instance, has a population of 2.4 billion, I think. Wow. So, you know, like just as a point of reference. So anyway.
2.4 billion in Brisbane?
Million. I said billion, but that turns out it was a little bit of a mistake because it's a million.
Slip of the tongue.
Slip of the tongue. Yes. Let's see here. It is the number two Fortune 500 company in terms of revenues is Berkshire Hathaway, who brought in $223 billion, just ahead of Apple's $215 billion, but earned in profits $24 billion, which is a little more than half of Apple's $45 billion. So Berkshire Hathaway is a larger company in terms of revenue. Apple earns more money. Apple earns more money than all the other companies. But so it's certainly not as interesting a statistic, but if you look at ExxonMobil earned $7.8 billion in 2017. So Apple's going to be paying out almost twice what energy giant ExxonMobil earned in total profits in 2017.
In dividends. Crazy. And there are people out there that every time some analyst or pundit or whoever says, well, iPhone sales aren't doing well, or you know, whatever the product is, they immediately are like, well, Apple's doomed. They're going to be gone in a couple years.
Yep.
No, Apple could stop doing everything and continue to pay their employees and do it for a long time, even if they're not selling a single product. They have a buttload of money. They are yes. So not doomed.
They are not doomed. General Motors, another large company, with only, by the way, that's interesting. General Motors has 225,000 employees. Which is not quite double what Apple has at 116. This was in 2017. I think Apple's probably going to have 140,000 employees this year. This would be my guess, or at least by next year. But General Motors earned $9.4 billion on sales of $166 billion.
Wow.
Which is like, I didn't realize they were doing that well, to be honest.
Well, now you know.
Yeah, you know. So anyway, Apple is paying out a boatload of money in dividends. It is a very big deal how much money Apple is paying out in dividends. No company has ever done this. This $100 billion in the next stock buyback, no company has ever announced $100 billion in stock buybacks, ever. No company has ever announced that. Now, Apple has already done, I think, $225 billion in stock buybacks, or maybe they've done 210 of that, I think. But those were announced in much smaller chunks over several years, right? This $100 billion announcement, no company has ever done that.
That's just crazy.
Yeah. And the amount of money that Apple's paying back in dividends, no company has ever done that.
Just, wow. That is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money, and Apple's stock was up today. It was up to 176. Let's see if I didn't get logged out of E-Trade. That's great. Apple's market cap is at $858 billion. Stock was up $7.47. That's up 4.42%. Closed at 176.57. That is that a high? What's the high? No, it's been up to 183. In March, it hit 183. So it's still off its high.
But still, that's a pretty valuable stock.
Yep. It is a lot of money. And if you're wondering why it's not even higher, it's because Wall Street still doesn't see a lot of growth. So, you know, the stock reflects what Apple was worth and what Wall Street thinks Apple will be worth. And until Apple announces a new product that that is going to sell in large numbers, Apple's stock will at best creep slowly higher.
I'm expecting that Apple stock is not going to take a big jump before WWDC, but depending on what Apple announces there, it could bump up after that.
I doubt that.
Well, I'm going to think positive.
I don't think we're going to see major new product launches. I mean, that's what it's going to take for Apple stock to really get goosed, is for a completely new product line with new revenue streams coming in. You know, could be service, could be yeah, Apple services will continue to grow. Apple services were a big bright spot in this particular in the March quarter, and they're going to continue to grow. And the higher they get, the more Wall Street's going to like it, because services tend to be very profitable. Mm-hmm. But it's going to take a major new service, major new physical product to that can move the needle to see Apple stock take that next big leap. That's my opinion.
All right. Well,
and remember, I am a slight tiny shareholder, so it does not affect what I say about Apple. Obviously I've criticized and praised Apple in this particular program, but it is very important that I disclose that so people can judge what I say accordingly.
And I'm not a shareholder, so I can say anything I want. That's how it works, right?
Yeah, fair enough. I could say anything I want. I do.
That's true. You often do. All right. Well, we're out of time.
We are out of time. Thanks very much. Good times.
Yes, indeed. And that's this week's Apple Context Machine. If you have anything to comment on, add, or question, write us at acm@macobserver.com. And hey, thanks for listening.
Our content is written by the good people at the Mac Observer. The bass is by Boom, recorded just for us, and our bandwidth was provided by Cashfly. That's all for this week.
And hey, stay subscribed.
We'll see you online at the Mac Observer. Got a story to tell you about my trip to Vegas, by the way.
Sweet.